Glad to have you here tonight at South Place. Now, I'd like to do a little something just before we start. First of all, I suppose that probably our minister is taking the offering for us tonight. Pretty much customary in order of violence. And I appreciate it. But what I'd like to do tonight is give him the offering. I trust that Sister Biggs got extra $100 to put in there. Get by a little tonight. And I wonder tonight if some of them might have a little extra they'd like to put in there tonight, just for the pastor, for the upkeep of the church, a lot of overhead. Maybe you don't understand that, but the man that carries the cross does, and the pastor, he carries the cross. Amen. Put out a little extra, if you don't mind, just put it in there. You know, I found out that giving to the Lord, that's a blessing.
Amen.
That's not where the real blessing comes from.
Amen.
It's giving to the Lord when you came forward to give to the Lord.
Amen.
When
you came forward,
said that God didn't notice the rich much when they threw in their offering. But when the little widow came and gave all that she had to a living, the Bible said she's given more than all.
Amen.
This is the move of the Lord.
Amen.
I found out that in my lifetime, the thing that moves God is when you give what you can. I remember a case, a patient that is, Sister Barry, and I was in a strange state living in our little telephone, and we didn't know anybody, we didn't have anybody to look to, we didn't have any income, and it was cold, very cold, and we just had a little container about like that in the motorhome where we had some kerosene, you know, to keep us warm. That's all we had, about a gallon, just half a gallon. They parted the trailer home. We had a boat, we traveled the boat home a lot of times, the trailer home. And I said, Sister Betty, I said, the Bible said, try me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. I said, we need one kind of blessings.
Amen.
I said, the best way I'm going to do it is take everything you've got. I said, we don't have anything. We don't have anything to eat. We don't have anybody to look to, and it's cold. And we're just a few hours between being home and being cold, half freezing. But I said, because we believe there's a God, and we know there's a God, and we trust in a God, then He'll supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory.
Amen.
And to see our God perform, let's put ourselves on the spot to where He'll have to do something false because of His love.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, give away everything you got. So she did. Well, I've been needing an automobile. We were in need of an automobile. We gave away everything we had. I went in the back room and prayed. And I told Betty during the time that we was there, I said, now Betty, I asked the Lord for a car. I said, He gave me a car. And of course, you know, you don't have a car, but you still got a car when you got faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Bible says, by the others is obtained a good report. So I said, Lord, I thank you for a car. And it was within a day or two, a man knocked on my door. And he said, Brother Pike. I said, yes, sir. He was a prominent businessman across town. We had just met him passing. And he was supposed to belong to some denominational church there. He said, don't you need a car? I said, yes, sir, I do. I said, as a matter of fact, the Lord gave you one. Of course, he looked around to see it. And folks like that, they don't understand you. But he just looked back at me and he said, well, he couldn't see no car. He said, I'm here for the purpose to buy you a car. Praise God, a good head comes sometime
tonight.
So he took me and he took me down to another place way across, yeah, another state. Across town there and a ways into another state. He said, here they are, pick out what you want. So I picked me out a nice, beautiful coupe, and he paid for it, and that was it. Let's give the Lord a hand. times down through life I've done that. And many tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars God has sent me because of doing that very thing. Mm-hmm. It's so wonderful to walk in the light as He is in the light. Mm-hmm. So I want to say that the other night, a few nights ago, we were needing a little help, which we always in the ministry, preachers always need help, you know. They said we need $10,000, you give $10,000. They said we need just a little help, we need another 10, you give another 10. They said, God, have a little more help to take 30, you know, instead of 20. And you give them that, and then the first week, you know, they need 50, and the first week, you know, they need 100,000. And that's all right, there's nothing wrong with the praise God, for them can get millions as long as they feed the hungry, clothe the naked, help the widows. As long as they send the gospel throughout the world, give them all they can give, folks. Because when you compare it, heaven to them that's going to the ball games, and then going to the parades, and then going to the beaches, and then going to the things of the world, and then they shoot at the moon. Oh, millions and billions of dollars that they're wasting. You know, it's either going to the world or going to the belly, and someday many of them will burn in hell for it. Don't feel bad when you see parades and you see all kind of things. Thank you so much, my brother.
Amen.
You see all kind of things happening, you know, and people going out to, like around Atlanta, Georgia, Six Flags, and other places in the world. They're wasting. You just be glad for what little the minister gets. I'm not in harmony with these that have got, as I said the other night, not just television ministries, because some of those are good. So we ministered on TV too. But a lot of the ministers are falling because they haven't been sincere with God and not really buckled down. You know, they're taking millions of dollars. Not all of it has gone to waste, but a lot of it has gone to waste.
Amen.
So don't feel bad when you give to the minister. Don't pinch pennies and try to give him your leftovers.
Amen.
Seek the Lord first. Give him the very best. Don't bring him the halt, the lame, and the blind. Mm-hmm. You know, a person will live a half-hearted life and then try to be something for God. He said, I'm a great God. He said, take that to your governor and see if he'll receive it. Mm-hmm. Don't bring him the halt, lame, and blind. He wants you. He wants you really up front. He wants you to live for God. Really go along with Christ.
Yeah.
You know, so let's live for God. Let's do something for God. Let's give God our best. We're going to try to do something for God. Let's not give him the pennies and the leftovers. Don't put God to a shame. Give him the best you have. I remember years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, give something you've got to the poor. And I thought, I'll do it. So I went to my pantry and I looked and I went through my clothing. Went back to my clothing. My dear God, what will I give? Everything I saw, I wanted. Everything I saw, I had a lot.
Right.
I thought, well, holy, what am I going to give? So I went down the line again. I got some of the finest that I had. It's something I really like. And the Lord said, now that would be good enough right there. The Lord. And then I realized something, folks. He doesn't want the halt.
All right.
You know, give the best you've got to God.
That's all right.
All right, so the other night I was praying, and as I was praying, I looked, and in a vision I saw a man come up before me. I saw his face come up before me, and as I looked at him, he looked like he had a little mustache here, kind of a full-faced fellow, kind of red-faced, you know. I looked at him, and I thought, now, this man right here, what does he want with me? I could tell he was really desiring to speak to me. I thought, what does he want with me? And he looked at me and he said, Preacher, I want to do something for you. I said, what do you want to do for me? He said, give you $50,000. So, praise God. You know, I personally, I say again, I don't take personal offerings. If you come up tonight to give me $100,000, you couldn't give me a dime. Because as a rule, I don't take personal offerings. You know, I don't carry money in my pockets. Just something with me that me and God had an agreement on many years ago. That is, the Bible heard God say the priests love gifts and gifts pervert judgment, and I don't want your judgment perverted. He said, I want to use you, son. He said, stay away from me. I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory, and I'll give you the desires of your heart, your delights as ever to me. He's given me everything I could want. He's given me land. He's given me houses. He's given me buildings. He's given me ships. He's given me airplanes. He sent me all over the world. We preached around the world. He's given me everything all the world. As a matter of fact, this may sound fanatical to you, but I'll be sitting around and it just come to me that I'm thirsty. And I'll think, Lord, I'd love to have a coke or something. And before I can hardly get through, There's people here tonight to bear witness of that again and again. Somebody will step in and say, Brother Todd, would you like to have something to hold and drink? I mean, this is continuing in my life. All my life around the world. I can be in a strange country anywhere. It still works. Mm-hmm. See, things still work. And so then, just a few hours after that I discussed this with my son, who works with us in ministry. We stepped outside of the building. We're building some little oval bridges right there near it, and I stayed on one of the little oval bridges about that time. My son walked up over here, and another man walked up over here, and he spoke to me. That is the man on my left. I turned and looked, and when I did, that was the same man I saw in the vision. The same fellow was standing there, and I looked at him, and when I looked at him, I thought, now this is the man I saw in the vision. And the man said, Brother Pike, I'd like to give you $50,000. And he said, not all that. He said, not all that. I mean, that wasn't the only thing you want to do, so I want to do some more for you. And you know, the beautiful thing about it wasn't but a few days, another fellow that fit the same description, and I know the two wasn't the same, you know. But he walked up and he said, I want to do something for you. And I said, well, what would you like to do for me? He said, I'd like to give you $50,000. And he said, that's not all I'd like to do. He said, we'd like to do some more things. So see, if we give, he'll give. All right. If I was to receive you, good measure, pressed down, heaped together, and running over.
All right.
And so shall men give it to the bosom. But you know, I found out there's one thing wrong with folks, and that is they always expect to receive.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. But a lot of people, they feel like it's better to receive than give.
Amen.
So it's more fun to receive and get more. No, if you give, you get more.
Right.
See, when you give, then God gives to you.
Amen.
And I consider a lot of evangelists, you know, when they get ready to make a trip, they get up and they start taking their offering. That's the first thing they want, is an offering. And I've said a lot of times, you would think that God said, take your offering and go into all the world, rather than go into all the world by faith, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because they always have an offering, have to have an offering, because they're going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out that you don't have to do that. You don't have to sell peanut brittle. You don't have to peddle things. You don't have to turn the house of God into a place of merchandise.
Right.
You don't have to beg and beg and radio and behind the sacred desk. You don't have to do those things. All you have to do is follow Christ.
Amen.
You have faith in God.
Amen.
And Jesus said, whatever you say, mm-hmm. if you don't doubt in your heart, I'll do it. It'll come to pass. You just say it, believe it, don't doubt in your heart, and you'll have whatever you say.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, folks. Ask what you will in my name, and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know we preachers preach that, and a lot of preachers preach that, but they don't really believe that.
All right.
But it works anyway for them. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Praise
God.
We are supposed to be the leaders.
Amen.
We're supposed to be God people.
Amen.
I'm thankful tonight to be here. I'm thankful for you that are here. There's some people that wanted to come to this meeting. And they've been calling. And they said, Brother Pike, are you going to be there? Sometimes, you know, we're going to be in a meeting. And by the time they get there, I'm not there. And they said, Lord, no, you're going to be there. I said, my wife, she's busting through today. She said, you got to tell me something. But I'm thankful to be here. I think it's a privilege to be here tonight. As I say, we were supposed to have been in Russia. And somehow God turned it around. We were supposed to be there at a huge, beautiful cathedral, a Baptist cathedral there to minister to the people. Our literature is in that area. And they're getting a great result out of it. And we were supposed to be there. I was there a few months back, and we had a great, wonderful time. I guess we passed out hundreds and multiplied hundreds of pieces of literature. Even on the Red Square, right there in Moscow, and right there at the Kremlin, and in a number of other places, we passed out literature, and we were apprehended at least six different times, was it been? And each time, God delivered us out of the paws of the bear and out of the mouth of the lion. God took care of us. They didn't know what to do with us. We just went right on by faith, and they couldn't do anything with us. God. So I thank God for his wonderful blessing. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. And of course, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Word of God. Now, let me say this. When I come here, I'd like to talk to you. It is my desire. Let me put it like this. It is my desire to speak to you about the deep, hidden mysteries of God. That's my life. I feed off of that all the time. All during the day, I feed off of the deep, hidden mysteries of God. Things that you can't find written in this Bible. It's not written in here. Like I said the other night, You can read it from cover to cover. I've read it from cover to cover, and I read that New Testament through on my knees. And it's not in there as far as finding it in the Bible. And yet, if you have the mind of Christ, every bit of it is in there. Every bit of it is in there. And not one deep mystery or revelation will leave the pages of this beautiful book. It'll found itself perfectly on every word of God. And what the revelation of this great mystery is the word revealed. Jesus said, my word is spirit and it's truth. Yeah. See, and this is just a printed page here. We call this the word of God. But see, before the printed page ever came, before the scrolls were ever written, the Bible said the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. It was a spiritual thing, and it came unto the prophet. Now, when I read this Old Testament, the Bible said, Jesus spoke of this back there, Paul spoke of it, and Paul said, and over, and reading of the Old Testament, he said, there is a veil over the face of the minds of the people. That veil, he said, even in Paul's day, he said, it's untaken away. He said, but this veil is done away with in Christ. Mm-hmm. He said, they that read the Old Testament, they don't understand it. Because this veil is over their face. And see, that veil remains over their face, and they cannot understand spiritual things. Mm-hmm. But he said, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But seeing that you're bathed in Christ, he said, I can't. Jesus said, I have anything to say to you, but I can't, because you're dull here.
All right.
So then, there are many wonderful things for the church, but folks, listen. As long as I'm going to go to a ball game, as crummy as it is, pardon my expression, let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, gentlemen, for the Lord. Some kind of football game, volleyball game, some kind of a baseball game, and put those frivolous, beggarly elements in between me and God, and desire that and hunger and thirst after those things of the world, as the bondage child does, and then he's under bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. His mind is that of Satan that saves the things that be of the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as I do that, God isn't going to give me any revelation. You know, I'm going to go to church. We're just going to go to church. We're going to have a little get-together church, you know, and I'm going to be a social fella. I'm going to be at every social party that comes along. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be looking for every place where I can appear before a dignitary, some celebrity, so I can make myself a great thing, you know, I'm going to come in and draw the multitudes. Come on, folks. Mm-hmm. You know, and the people are going to be in the same condition because they can't outgrow their pastor. You know, whatever he is, that's what they're going to believe.
All right.
How are we going to get spiritual things?
Amen.
Well, let me tell you something, folks. When we come out from among the world,
and
be not partakers of those things in the world, and we touch not the unclean things, and we choose not the way of the heathens, our faith is going to begin to work.
Amen.
And we're going to find ourselves out of the spirit going down. High into the higher things of God. Mm-hmm. Brother Ryder said, higher in the school of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Never let me go.
Amen.
Greater and more wonderful things of your wisdom, Father, ever let me know.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. We're not at a funeral. We want the things of God. And God has something to occupy our minds. We get the idea if we don't put a pool room down in the basement, you know.
Come on.
And if we don't have a baseball team,
come on.
And if we don't do these other things, then we're going to lose our congregation.
All right.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
All right.
I'll tell you what, glory to God for the day that we lose that congregation and get some real people. Our congregation, and what we do, we keep letting, somebody says in his preaching, I remember him saying this, that I asked the question, who let the gap down and let the goats go? And, you know, it's just about got to the place where every true loving person of God had been pushed out of the church. And they're from now. You know, and all the societies of the world have come in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Amen.
And the summary of that, God gives us a summary of that. What does he say about the church at that point? He denies it being a church and said it's become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. He calls it a cage of demons and devils, of all the societies of life. So, since we don't want that, we don't want to be affiliated with that, but we're trying to do what God tells us to do. And in doing this, we have to walk circumspectly before God that our light might shine, and men may see our good works throughout the world and glorify the Father which is in heaven. You know, we go throughout the world preaching to our local assembly and our immediate locality. And then God spoke and said, go throughout the city. And then he said, go throughout the state. Then he said, go throughout the nation. And then he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized, Jesus shall be saved. Said, shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So, we try to do that. We try to walk in the ways of the Lord. As I said the other night, we just come back from a glorious crusade over the Philippine Islands where we had thousands of people that turned out. God bless, God healed, and we prayed for hundreds and multiplied hundreds of people. Night after night, they poured through. And we're still getting testimonies where God healed. We had a wonderful time with the Lord. And now here we are, here in Humboldt, Tennessee.
Amen.
I expected to have a wonderful time with the Lord.
Amen.
I enjoyed myself last night. It was a wonderful audience last night. You listened real good. And we didn't have a bit of problem at all last night as far as ministering to you. All right, folks. God bless you. Give an honor to you and to your pastor. And double honor to late the Lord. Thankful to be here tonight. I will read a little bit from the book of Jonah, because just this one scripture that I bring to your mind tonight is something to completely set you free from all of the world and the things of the world. Just this one scripture, if you can interpret it and understand what we're saying. All right, chapter 2. It's in chapter 2 of the book of Jonah. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayers came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe thy vanities forsake their own mercy. For I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and he vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now I want you to notice something here. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. The 8th verse, they that observe my vanities forsake their own mercies. I want you to think on that tonight now. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. They that observe, I will repeat that over. They that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. Can we repeat that together? They that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. Can you imagine what's hid within that one scripture? They that observe lying vanities. You know, a lot of times we get sick in body. These things that come upon us are lying vanities. A lot of times we're in poverty. We can't seem to meet the demands of life. But those things are lying vanities. A lot of times oppression, there's demon oppression. The powers that try to literally eat us up. But that's lying vanities. Now you say, Brother Pike, how can you say these things are lying vanities? Because the preacher, Solomon, the great man of wisdom, he said it's vanity. All is vanity, he said, is vexation of spirit. Every bit of it, he said, is vanity and vexation of my spirit. This world is vanity. You know, if we could come to the place to where we realize that this world doesn't exist. This world doesn't exist. Except in lying vanities.
This world is a world of lying vanity.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear,
mm-hmm.
so that we are without excuse, all even to the eternal Godhead itself. All of it is clearly explained. All of it is clearly shown. All of the invisible world. See, it is clearly shown to us by the things which do appear. These things that I see around me are vanity, but they are typical, they're types, they're shadows. When Paul spoke of the Old Testament, he spoke of this as being a type and a shadow of the thing which was to come. Even the law, he said, is but a shadow of that which is to come. Remember David of old? David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, but thou art with me. Think now, looking down from heaven, that's a mountaintop. Looking down into this valley, this is the valley base in this world, is the valley. And David said, I'm walking through this valley as God looks down the mountaintop. And he said, while I'm in this valley, he said, the law is hanging over me, and the law is that shadow of death. It's a shadow of those things to come, Paul said.
Yeah.
And he said, sin comes by the knowledge of the law. And David said, I'm in the valley of shadows, and the shadows hanging over my head. He said, and it's death to me. He said, but I shall fear no evil. He said, for thou art with me, O God. And he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, O God. And thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies, O God. And thou makest my head to run over, O God. Somebody say hallelujah. David said, I'm under the shadow of thy rod. Please, thy rod. By rod, by staff, that's the Spirit, that's the Word, that's the Holy Ghost, that's the Word. See, right there, the Holy Ghost was speaking to them. And they said, by rod, by staff, it's a comfort unto me. The Bible said, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, he's a comforter. When he the prophet shall come, he'll come in my name, the Bible said. And he'll reprove the world of sin. You know, it's good. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through his Son, that the world might be saved. But one thing God did do, he sent his Son into the world to condemn sin in the flesh. Come on. God wants to condemn sin in the flesh. He doesn't like sin. You know why he doesn't like sin? Because sin is a killer. Sin is a killer. You know, if somebody was taking the life of your little baby, you would like that, would you? See, God doesn't like that because sin takes the life of his creature. And God loves his creature. God is love. God is lovely. Though we stumble, though we err, though we go to and fro here and there, yet the love of God is so strong. Paul looked at the love of God and he said, this Christ that died of Calvary, God so loving you, that he gave the best thing that heaven could afford him, the Son of God. He said, with this kind of love, I'm persuaded to believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Separate us from the love of God. Heights, depths, things present, things to come, whatever. He said, nothing shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. So then we can tell that something is happening, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Remember, when you're fallen from grace, you're still under the law.
Amen.
Somebody would say, but I'm not under the law, Brother Pike. But if you're fallen from grace, you're under the law.
Right.
You know, even though grace has come, yet remember this, those that were under the law are still under the law.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't come to a born-again experience,
mm-hmm.
and you are a sinner in the sight of God, he that sins will die. The soul that sins shall surely die. Remember the Bible said it's sin reigned or death reigned all the way from Adam down to Moses.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right.
Over them which had not sinned at the similitude of Adam, but still reigned over them. They couldn't understand why they died, but they did die.
Right.
They didn't die the way you do today is to such a short mark.
Amen.
You know, I marvel sometimes at the science of the world. They try to prove, you know, the body's good for about 60, 70 years, and that's about the best we can do in this world, you know. And they scientifically prove their ignorance. Come on, folks. Science falsely so called.
Amen.
We may have a little study about calling this the ignorance of science, and I know there's some good things, and God gives some good understanding to men of knowledge. The word science means knowledge. Falsely so called, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But they scientifically proven by their human physics, you know, the study of astronomy, of human physics, or whatever it might be, they prove that the little body, if you'll take care of it, you might get 70, 80, maybe 90 years out of it. You know, the whole time. And it's just one of those things, because right. The body wears out, there's nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I guess our brother Moses, living 120, didn't know nothing about that. Right?
Right.
That part of science that he didn't know anything about. Right. And some of those folks back there, like some people like that, before they lived about 500 or 600 years, they probably didn't know nothing about that.
Come on.
And Noah, who lived 950 years, he must not know anything about that.
God's first cousin.
Amen.
God doesn't have any pleasure in death, not even in the death of the wicked.
Yes.
You see, I would even have the wicked repent of their sins,
amen,
and that they could be saved also. Isn't that wonderful? That shows you about blood.
Amen.
See, Jesus died to take away the sins of the world.
Amen.
See, God has no pleasure in death. Why does God have no pleasure in death?
Amen.
Someone would say, well, if he had no pleasure in death, why in the name of reason did he sin death? God never sin death.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody would say, well, why did he send that from God? Why did he send that to my people? Why did he call people to die? God has never called people to die. God's never
sent
death one time. God has never had any pleasure in anybody dying, never at any time. God had nothing to do with death. The Bible said death came by man.
Amen.
You're the blame. You're the culprit. Come on. I said, you're the blame. You're the culprit. You know, I see these people so often. I go around traveling around the world. They come to me and they're whining, you know, and they're going, so blessed God. God is so good. And you preach it. God is good.
God is so good. Why did you take that little baby's life? Why did you make this man crippled? And why did you make this woman blind? And why did you do all these things? And why the wrecks? And why the problems? And all these wars and problems that God is so good. Why did God do all of that?
I said, my beloved friend, God never did any of it. I said, you're the devil that done that.
The Bible tells us out of the millennium that wonderful 1,000 years reign with God. He said that nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountains.
The Bible said the devil will be bound 1,000 years,
yeah,
and nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountains, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Somebody would say, well, praise God, Brother Pike, that proves it's not the people. No, that don't prove a thing, because all during the millennium, the Bible teaches that them people are going to want to rise up and overthrow the King of God, and God's going to give them a little lesson by constraint. You know, it won't be let whosoever will come. He won't say let whosoever will come. He'll say, I'm sitting on the throne, and every time worship comes, you'll come up here and bow down at my feet, or you won't have any rain on your crop. Come on, folks. You won't have any rain on your crop. You're going to learn to worship just like everybody else. And then after that 1,000 years, he's going to turn the devil loose a little season to go out to deceive the nations to gather together the seed of God and make God that's like the saints of the sea. Come on. They're going to gather together, and then they're going to come up together. They're going to try to overthrow the throne of God. And the Bible said, fire is going to die in hell and defile them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So then these people go around and wind these demons and devils and try to program people's minds with these things. You know, and accuse God. Always be, pardon me while I fall off my
throat.
Absolutely formal, but you know what I feel like. So, something we see all of these things happening. You know, and we look around at these things, and these people whine, you know, and say, bless God, I serve the Lord, but look at this. You explain that to me.
Can you explain that to them?
All right.
The next time they talk to you, try to explain that to them. It's because of their sin. When did death come in to begin with? That death that gets that little child. When did that death come in? It was through the lust of Eve. It was through the Lord. Can you deny that?
Amen.
Somebody prove it. Prove it different. You know, my preach like this, it's open to the audience. Stand up and prove it different. Eve was the one that died. She's the one that let death come in. God didn't have anything to do with it. And the Bible said death came by man. Death came by man. And God didn't have anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, God personified himself in a human body called Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Tabernacle was full in this human body. When John saw the revelation, he said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men." He beheld that human body to the fullness of God. In that God wasn't a human body tabernacle. The Bible said as long as we're in this tabernacle. Tabernacling in that body. See, and he came and took that body and suffered untold misery and let his blood run on his veins. And the Bible said his countenance was marred more than any man. Had no beauty that any should desire. And there it was that cast back like a field, folks. To do away with death, to do away with sickness, to do away with sorrow, to do away with all these things, to keep that little baby from having to suffer, to keep that mother from having to suffer. Isn't that right? God did that to do away with it. And here we go down the road about what God didn't want and what you're trying to do. Like the Jews, sometimes we get so self-righteous we can't tell which way we're going. Sometimes we fast maybe a meal, or we pray a little bit, you know. We might fast a meal and we pray a little bit and we feel some more holier than thou. We feel like, well, God looks like you catch up, you know, on your, you know, catch up on your loss of righteousness there and see if we couldn't get together. God, help your puny little mind, folks. You know, your mind is like a little computer that's out of control. It don't know where it's going, it don't know where it's coming from, it don't know where it's been. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody said, "Well, you don't believe in fasting."
Yes, I fast.
I still believe in fasting. The Bible said the minister should fast, don't you? Mm-hmm. She said, somebody said, "Well, you don't believe in praying." Pray. I've been on my knees numbers of times until the sunrise come up. All night long. But that didn't have anything to do with it. It's by the grace of God that I am what I am. I'm praying for the grace of God. Because my mercy is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died at Calvary, and by his stripes, I was healed. And God said, "I was going to heal the Lord of my mercy." Is that right? And God said, he said his word and healed you. Healed you. There's about 32,000 promises in this Bible, and all belongs to you. Isn't that right? The Bible said God gave us all things that pertain to life. Jesus said, "I'm the Prince of Life. I come that you might have life. And you might have more abundance. Filled up and overflowing. If David said, my cup runs over."
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? So then tonight, God, out here, we're seeking life. We're looking for life. Rope is abundance of life. Rope God to give us this abundance of life. He has nothing to do with death. The thief comes but to rob and to steal.
Amen.
Satan is the killer. God comes to give you life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I've got a lot of folks that, you know, Christians, that is, they're so sad. And by they're so cast down. I talk with them. I think, well, no wonder you're so sad. If I had the program in my head that you got in your head, I'd be sad too.
Amen.
I'd be sad too.
Amen.
I was as mixed up as they are into what God is and who God is and the purpose of God came upon this world. I'd be sad too. But folks, my Bible tells me that serving God is joy. Come on, serving God. You know, it was a man after God's own heart. He had a job. He didn't have any job. And he was a man after God's own heart. As far as I know, David was an adulterer almost from the beginning to the end. And I mean just in bubbles. You know, like bushels. He was an adulterer. Come on, folks. You know, I think a lot of times the way people look at folks back yonder and they look at them and they say, Father Abraham, the father was faithful. And that's true. That's true. But folks, let me tell you something. Abraham never deserved anything he ever got. No. No. Somebody says, Father Abraham. See, I'm talking about Father Abraham that committed adultery. Let's get him over there. Man, 10 minutes. Somebody said, that wasn't adultery. Sure, it was adultery. If it wasn't adultery, then why is it adultery now? Come on, folks. We say, Father Jacob that had 4 wives committing adultery. He never deserved nothing here in the Bible. Somebody said, but faithful Moses, you go over here and open about 6 times over in Israel, fix him over 7 times over there. They say, but that faithful man back there, Moses the murderer. Let's give it all the hands. What's he done to kill him? I'm telling you that we've got the grace of God. And folks, that's the only thing that'll ever get you into the kingdom of God. I can prove to you that Jacob never got in, and Abraham never got in, and not any of the others ever got in.
That's right.
Come on, folks. I'm talking about Elijah. I'm talking about Moses. I'm talking about Father Abraham. I'm talking about all those folks back there. Come on, folks. Did you know that there never was born among women any greater than that of John the Baptist? Is that Bible? Did you know the Bible said notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John? Think about that now. Here he is equal to Abraham, equal to Elijah, equal to these great men back here, none of them greater than John. And the Bible said, this is he that I sent to prepare my way, even my messenger before my face. Is that right?
Yeah.
A man sent from God. But did you know the least one in the kingdom of God is greater than John?
Amen.
Is there anybody at all here in the kingdom of God?
All right.
Come on, folks. The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom had been preached, and men pressed their way into it. And I am in the kingdom of God. For the Bible said, God hath translated me into this marvelous kingdom.
Yes.
I've been preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not a way off. It's at hand. And that you need to repent and get into the kingdom of God. And as it was, we walked down the street of Dolorosa, there is the old city of Jerusalem crying out to the top of our voice and the anointing of the Lord upon us saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Repent ye and receive the gospel. Repent ye and receive the gospel. So then tonight, the kingdom of God is here. It's been here ever since Calvary. And you have a chance as to your inner man, your spiritual man, to be translated by faith of Christ into this marvelous kingdom of God. You have the opportunity to do that. And when you are in the kingdom of God, you're greater than John the Baptist. Amen. Somebody say, I can't believe that. I'm glad I can. So then tonight, I am in the kingdom of God. I have nothing that I have done, nothing that I can do to merit anything, yet I have everything.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these people, they go around and say, well, Brother Pat, you just got, like somebody told me the other day, said, well, you just got to admit there's some things that God don't want us to know. And we preach to hundreds and thousands of people, and we give them our idea instead of giving them the word of God.
Yeah.
See, the Bible said that we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things.
All things.
We have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, Jesus said, what my Father made known to me, I have made known unto you. Mm-hmm. But he knew all things.
All right.
Come on, folks, he knew all things. So it may have been known unto us. And tonight we have an option to know all things. So how many things then do we know? Somebody says, well, there's just a lot of things in life he doesn't want you to have. The Bible says that he has given us all things. Well, don't pretend to lie. And the Bible says you are complete in him. And you may borrow from me now. The building. But it goes farther than that. It goes a lot farther than that. Someone would say, well, how far does it go, Brother
Pharisees and the scribes, and they wanted to stone him to death. And Jesus said, well, what good work do you want to stone me? I opened the eyes of the blind, I would stop the deaf ears, and I made the lame to walk. And what do you want to stone me for? And they said, for a good work, we don't want to stone you. Said, but you being a man, make yourself God, for this will stone you. Come on, folks. I told you when a whole lot followed. Whole lot followed. Said, you being a man, like over there when Jesus healed him, and they marveled. They said, God would give this kind of power unto men. Give this kind of power unto men. Give this kind of power unto men. Somebody said, well, I can't do it. Jesus said, go heal the sick. Please go ahead and raise the dead. And some of them said, for what good work do you stone me? Not for a good work, but you being a man, make you say, God. And Jesus said, is it not written in the scriptures that I call you gods? So I call you gods. Yes. Is it not written in the scripture? What scripture? Go back to the book of Psalms. Hover back and search the scriptures. Jesus said, search the scriptures. He said to them, Pharisees and scribes, he said, you're taking that eternal life. He said, but you better search the scriptures. Except for those scriptures are the one that testifies of my coming. These are they that testify of me, says right. You think within them you have eternal life.
Yes.
Go back there and search those scriptures. Somebody said, is it not written in the scriptures that I called ye gods? I thought, Lord, you call me a god. You call these people gods, even them that are back under the law. Is it written in the scriptures? I went back and began to search the scripture, and sure enough, back there, Psalms, in the book of Psalms, and David speaking, it says, it's written back there, and ye are gods.
Amen.
Said, ye shall die like me from the lack of knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Of knowing that you're gods.
Somebody says, Brother Mark, you must be crazy. You must be eccentric. You must be beside yourself. Paul said, if I am, it's because of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, hallelujah. That's why the Bible said, let this mind be in you.
You let it be in you.
Let it also in Christ Jesus be made in the full of God.
Let it not rob it.
God, not a robbery. To make himself equal with God. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you. You mean, Brother Pack, I let a mind be in me that I'm to think I'm equal to God. Somebody say
hallelujah.
Have you ever considered the fact that a dog, a puppy, feels like he's equal to his dad?
That's right.
You ever thought about a human being that they got the feeling that they are as good as their daddy?
Amen.
And they're relative to their daddy?
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Come on, man.
Amen.
If I had an elephant out here, and the next morning we had a little elephant, and that little elephant had come by the way of the big elephant, when you got out there and took a look at him, what would you call him?
The elephant.
Now,
amen.
I know.
Amen.
Dogs forget dogs, and cats and elephants forget elephants, and human beings forget human beings. Isn't that right?
Right.
But what does a God forget?
All right.
Come on, folks, tell me, what does a God forget? Dogs. Somebody said, you bunch of blasphemers. You blaspheme, you being a man, you make yourself God. That's why we'll kill you this. Isn't that right? That's why we won't kill you today.
Amen.
John said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God?
Amen.
You're the sons of God. Not going to be day after tomorrow. He's already translated us into the kingdom.
Amen.
And we're already sons of God. What does that make us? That makes us gods. What is a god? A god is something you can't kill. A god is something that can't die. A god is something that's going to be here every generation. Every generation. It's going to keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. That's a god. You know what? That's a god. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to be around throughout eternity? Let me see your hand. Sound like you're claiming godship. Sound like you're claiming godship. Somebody say hallelujah. You say, I just can't believe that with a power. Praise God, I know you can't, but I can. I know you can't, but I can. And that's what makes you not God, it makes us a God. Say amen.
said about it.
Amen.
That woman at the well, Jesus asked her a few questions. She said, thus and thus. Jesus said, what about worshiping the Lord? Over here in the mountain, you know, God told Moses to go to Mount Horeb, and you come out of there, you worship God on this mountain. Jacob said, worship in this mountain. And Jesus, the woman, said, you worship what? You don't know. He said, but God is the Spirit, and they that worship God must worship Him in the Spirit and truth. The time is coming, and now it is. She said, I know when the Messiah comes, He'll tell us all things. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I know when He comes, He'll tell us all things. Jesus said, I knew. Somebody said, somebody said, you're a man, we'll kill you. Jesus said, not the man, but the Messiah. Somebody said, now, what is it, Brother Pike? What in the world do you say? Come on, folks, let's love the Lord. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Pike? Haven't you taken this thing already far enough? Not quite. So then Jesus said to them, said, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. None other name, salvation in none other name, beginning at Jerusalem. And then in the middlemost parts of the earth, salvation shall be taught in His name for the remission of sin. So then He said, unless you believe I'm He, you'll die in your sins. Now, you say that you believe that you're sons of God. Do you really believe that? You know why I believe that? Because that's faith in the Word.
We believe the Word.
Somebody says, I believe, but the Father does God, I believe that, but I believe I'm still a son of God. I beg your pardon. I tell you something. I read an article in the paper. It's been numbers of months ago, and in this article, it was stated that all of the faiths of the world are going to get together. All of the masses, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Pentecostals, the Catholics, the Mohammedans, all of them, Confucians, all of them are going to get together. All the faiths of the world. When I read that, I said one thing about it. I said, that's wrong. I said, there'll never be any days like that. Someone would say, you don't think they all can get together? I think they all get together pretty regularly, most all the time. But it said all of the faiths of the world. See, there isn't but one faith. One God. One baptism. Just one faith, one God, one baptism. So there's no other faith to get together. Most people are not in the faith. Most people might be believers. There's Pentecostal believers. There's Baptist believers. There's all kinds of believers. I mean, Catholic believers. But they don't have salvation. Just being a believer. Somebody would say, well, I believe if you believe, you got salvation. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says if you believe, you do well. The devil believes too. So y'all are buddies. Just because you believe, that means y'all are fellow. You believe, he believes, all of you get together. Come on, folks. Maybe it's in society or something, a racetrack or whatever. And the devil will be right there with it. He'll be believing while he's shouting hollering. And believing, he'll be shouting hollering and believing with you. Because the rain comes on the just and the unjust. Isn't that right? Speaking tongues, you can do whatever you want to. But that don't mean that you got the Holy Ghost, and that don't mean that you're right with God, and that don't mean that you have faith in God. That don't mean that you have faith in God. Someone would say, well, what is the difference between believing and faith, Brother Pat? Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. You know, you can believe anything. You can believe something that's written from the screen. That's right, you might be colorblind, you might be seeing strong delusion.
Come on.
But I'll tell you something. Beloved friend, when you get the Word of God, you believe the Word of God. That's faith.
Yeah.
And your faith is shown by the obedience of that Word.
Yeah.
And you do the thing that God said, do. That's the proof of your faith.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking about faith.
Mm-hmm.
I ministered just a little on faith last night. And I'm not going to hold you long, but I just got to go down the trail. Now, all right, when we think of these things, let's consider for just a minute. You say that you are the Son of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say, my, we could go into Revelation tonight and text all night long just to touch on a little. But just trying to sit with the thought so as not to keep you very long.
Don't even when we think of this, you say that you are the Son of God. Then you have the mind of Christ. All you want the mind of Christ. Now, what is the mind of Christ? What is the mind of Christ? Come on, folks. Don't let this move you out of sight. He said, unless you believe on him, you'll die in your sins. Come on, folks.
Amen.
Oh, my God, what are you talking about in the Bible? You ever heard anything like a bone is bone and flesh is flesh?
Mm-hmm.
You ever read that in the Bible? You have the faith in that? You ever read where Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ that lives within me. The life I now live, I live with the Son of God.
Yes.
And you receive me as the Lord himself. Somebody says, but I think, Brother Pat, you're going to take God's glory. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Can you give me time to talk about that just for a minute? Like some of those scientists, their theoretical assumption, you know, and their principle law, the principle knowledge never proven is the law of uncertainty, they say. I read what it's all they can prove. And they're uncertain of everything they say. No, that's the law of absolute. Now, we don't be like that, do we?
No.
We want to believe in God. We don't want just a game of Scrabble, which means a word game.
Mm-hmm.
We want faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to theorize. I'm not from the school of theology. Theology is fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not from the school of theology. I'm from the school of neology.
All right.
I found a whole lot more in the school of neology than I did in the school of theology.
All right.
I don't see why I ought to deal with theory till I got facts. Is what I'm in Egypt and the hieroglyphics and the Rosetta Stone and those kind of things, and they have to found themselves upon them. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. I was telling my wife the other day, the Cambridge Rock, about as far as I can go back with the fossils, can't go any further. And with this Darwin theory of evolution, foolishness, science, fossils, so called, they can't find one thing, even those fossils that ever evolved. Somebody said, hallelujah. The world is getting a head full of garbage.
Amen.
A head full of garbage. They can't prove nothing.
Amen.
Not a thing. But I can prove what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Did you know that all the schooling, when they get back to the hieroglyphics, or they get back to Egypt where civilization's supposed to come up, they don't have any other history. That's a history.
That's it.
And they have to take the Bible and go back to Abraham and go back to what Genesis God said. He stood on the mountain up there and God. They don't have any foundation for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Their theory of uncertainty. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they're looking at facts. What are we going to say? Somebody says, and we're getting back to the major field. Let's look at it. Am I going to take God's glory away from you? Somebody says you're going to take God's glory, Brother Pye. And the Bible says God will not give his glory to another. Is that Bible? His glory will not give to another. Is that Bible?
Amen.
Sure, it's Bible. Do you believe that? Sure, I believe that. Have you got confidence and faith in that? Sure, I got confidence and faith in that. Said in his glory he will not give to another. You love the Lord?
Yeah.
But thank God I'm not another. I'm bone is bone and flesh is flesh.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Christ has got me living. Christ has got me living. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God.
All right.
Pastor said I'm not another. So I've got a right to his glory.
Yeah.
I've got a right to his glory.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody says, no, Brother Powell. Oh, yes. I got a right to his glory. Where do you see that? Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with me before the world ever was. Come on.
Yeah.
The same glory. What kind of glory? God's glory.
Yeah.
God's glory. Some folks, you know, they get carried away. And they feel like if they lift up anything outside of a boxing wrestler and a television singer or some kind of a ball fan, that they're going to give the glory away.
All right.
All right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
I had the admiration of idols. And God said, choose not the way of the
eagles. All right.
So then God, just let's look at it for a minute. There comes John the Baptist. And somebody said a prophet. You know, we want to be careful not to say too much about John. My faith, God's glory. Somebody said. So they said, John the Baptist. Good man. Prophet. Jesus said, a prophet.
You call John a prophet? Well, we don't take God's glory. Well, we see what God has to say about it. Here he stands in human form. His name is Jesus. And he said, a prophet said he's more than a prophet.
All right.
Come on.
All right.
Isn't that right? Somebody says, Moses. You know, his sister, she said, well, Moses takes too much upon himself. Aaron, Moses takes too much upon himself. I know God's used him, you know. But he takes too much upon himself. We don't want Moses to overdo it.
Right.
God said too many things about Moses. And all of a sudden, here comes God, the angel of heaven. He walks over there and he said, Aaron, Aaron, I want to talk with you. So they come over. And he said, wasn't you afraid to speak against my man Moses? Well, we don't want to give him God's glory, they could have said. Said Moses, said there's no man like him in all of the land. He is faithful in all of his house.
Amen.
Come on, folks.
Right.
And he said, Moses, you shall be God unto Pharaoh. And he said, when you go down to Egypt, you shall be God unto Pharaoh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You love the Lord?
Yeah.
Don't want to overdo it, do we?
All right.
Here's Gideon standing out here. And Gideon's been defeated. Don't have anything to feed his folks. He feels like a nobody and nothing. And he's standing there all cast down. About that time, the angel of God drops down to the earth. He's standing there looking at Gideon. And Gideon's over here moping, you know, and down. You know how folks do here. They mope and cast down their heavy and just like little children all the time, like little children. Here, here, the angel of God drops down, and he's standing there looking at Gideon. And Gideon's saying, woe's me, woe's me. And the angel, he looks over there, and he says, oh, thou mighty man of valor.
All right.
Oh, Brother Gideon, he probably turned up along to who he's talking to.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, thou mighty man of valor. Here this angel saw Gideon doing something that he as a great mighty angel would never do. Mm-hmm. He didn't see him here in this defeated form of life. He saw him with that sword ready. He saw him leave the arms of God. He saw him going out to battle, and he saw the armies falling in his seat. Yeah. Oh, thou mighty man of valor, he said. He wasn't wrong. He saw Gideon out there where Gideon would flash that sword in the sunlight and say, the Son of the Lord is Gideon.
All right.
That's what we need to do. See the sword of the Lord in the Gideon. When you say the sword of the Lord, put yourself in there with it. You won't take God's glory. Say, glory to God, the sword of the Lord in the Gideon. I'm going to battle. Don't let me go to battle, Joshua said, unless you see your presence up before me. But this is the sword of the Lord in the Gideon. And he went out to battle. And he become that mighty man to battle. Folks, and we could go on and go on and go on. See, God isn't going to give his glory to another. We're not another. The world is another.
Amen.
But we are God's own people. And we're going to be glorified with the glory that he had, Jesus Christ, had with the Father from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
We're going to be glorified with that same glory.
Yeah.
And that's the glory that's going to translate you in your body, transfigure you like it did Jesus on the mountain, and you're going to appear in glory.
Right.
How do you know that Jesus appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know why he did that? It's like I say to you, Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
The hope of what glory? That glory that Jesus appeared in. Why is he the hope of your glory? Because the Bible said the promise is not of the seeds, it's of many, but it's of one, Jesus Christ. And he alone is made glory as to the heir of God.
Amen.
So he is the heir of God. If I have the heir of God and hear he was made heir to the glory, then I have the glory. I'm heir to the glory. I'm born as born. I'm not living, he's living. I'm dead with the body of Jesus Christ. I put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm dead to the world and the things of the world. By the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, I'm living, not me, yet it's him. That's why Jesus could say, unless you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Folks, you get a visitation from God, and you don't know it. Sometimes he comes down to your house, and you don't know it. Sometimes he comes over to my house. I'm not careful. I don't know it. Seeing the visitation when God comes. And then when God comes and you don't receive God, then your houses are left unto you desolate until the day that you do find out where God is. And then you acknowledge God. And then you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Yeah. All right.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right.
God, how do you know he's in the earth?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said, where two or three are given my name, there am I in the midst of it.
Amen.
And the Bible says he's got some eyes. And his eyes are throughout the earth. My eyes are
alive.
Question, what are big eyes? How do you know that the saints' eyes is God's eyes and so up there? Come on, man. Let's be realistic. How do you know that the saints of God?
All right.
How do you know that?
All right.
They look like that. And the saints of God is God in the earth.
All right.
You love the Lord?
Amen.
Well, then I'll do away with that one, but I have another spark.
All right.
I said, how do you know that the saints of God is God in the earth?
All right.
Nature and the spirit. God gave the spirit of my nation.
Right.
And according to your nature, you're God in the flesh.
Right.
Yeah. That's why Paul says stop living with God. And when a person visits you according to the nature of God, then God is giving you a visitation.
Yeah.
You know the Lord?
Yeah.
You know what kind of visitation they had in Jesus? They said, come to visit with him. The fullness of God himself dwelt in Jesus, tabernacle in Jesus. The fullness of the Godhead bodies in Jesus. So Lord, the human age, for the body, it was him. How do you know that I'm a member of that body tonight? Your members in particular? Been baptized into that one body by the Spirit of Christ, even the Holy Ghost. How do you know that my spirit makes my arm a member of my body? Ain't everyone that's got the Spirit of Christ here tonight is a member of that body of whom Jesus Christ is the head. Come on, brother. Come on, brother. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, if that was so, then we need to go out there and tell the world who we are. I think we do, don't you?
Amen.
I think we do. Somebody says, well, you think I'll go out there and let them know I'm a God? Let's give the Lord.
You mean to tell them to go out there and let them know I'm a God? Somebody said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sure.
Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you know what I know too. That if we was God, we'd go there and sit down in the throne. Isn't that right? I believe that, don't you?
Right. The Bible said, and if you'll overcome like I've overcome, you can sit down in the throne with me. The way I sit down in the throne with my heavenly Father. How do you know that heaven is God's throne? There's a lot of room up there.
Yeah.
Earth is his footstool. Heaven is his throne.
Yeah. Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A man came to me the other day, and I'll probably get somebody to bump on me here, but I might as well say it. We got to set another already.
Amen.
Well, let's say this. Had a little difference the other day with some people. And we got around to a certain place, and I said, and of course, Jesus is God. He said, God? Jesus, God? I said, yeah, the Bible said that he was the express image of his person in the brightness of his glory. And he was literally shocked. He said, don't you believe us a God? I said, yeah, Jesus. He said, Jesus, God said, you don't believe us a God? I said, yeah, I said, there's a heavenly spirit, our heavenly Father. John 4:24 says he's the spirit. I said, the fullness of him tabernacle within the body of his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said, brother, the Bible said three bear witness in the earth, the water, the blood, the spirit, and these three agree in one. I said, it said three bear witness in heaven. I said, it didn't say they agree in one. I said, it said they are one. They are one. Listen to me. I said, when you get to heaven, you're not going to see a Father sitting here, a Son sitting here, and a Holy Ghost sitting here. I said, you're not going to see three God sitting up there. The Bible said Jesus Christ alone dwells in the great light. God being the great light, nobody can approach in that great light, which means the great wisdom and understanding of God.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
You and I alone dwell in that light as the members of his body, the church. Isn't that right?
Amen.
That's why it's given unto you to know the mysteries.
That's right.
And they said, why is it
Lord, you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say. He said, it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But he said, you just given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. In Revelation 10, it says, at the sounding of the last trumpet, the mystery of God should be finished. Praise the mystery of God. Paul said, now I stood a mistress. I said, when you get to heaven, you know, you're going to sit there. I said, you're going to see Jesus sitting there. And I said, you're going to see Moses on one side and Elijah on the other side. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that, but that's what the Bible says, and I believe in the Bible. James and John said, Lord, we'll take that place. No, he said, that's given to whomsoever is prepared for. Somebody said, but you don't know who's prepared for. I looked in glory, and Jesus stood there, so I said, Moses on one side and Elijah on the other. That's good enough for me. The olive trees that stand before the God of all the earth, none of the world. On one side, there were all the prophets. On either side, and there was grace in the middle. Sure, it's going to be just exactly that way. In the day of that great judgment, when we stand before Almighty God, Jesus will be there. And Moses and Elijah on the right hand, on the left. Why did James and John ask to be on the right hand and left? As in heaven, so on earth, there had to be a symbol. And Peter was to take Jesus' place. Do you know anybody else walked on the water? He was the one that had the keys. You know anybody else never said they had the keys outside of Jesus when he stood in the book there in the book of Revelation is reported? Isn't that right? Peter raised the dead, Peter walked on the water. Peter had the keys. James and John was the two that always went to Peter with Peter. And the three, before Jesus departed, they always went with Jesus. Because John and James was the two that was to be seen on the mountain on the right and left of Peter as in the earth. Moses and Elijah on the right and left of Jesus as in heaven. It had to be that way. That's why they asked that. The Lord made it to be like that. Always the typical thing that you can only see through the Spirit. Well, there's a lot of things that we're not getting into tonight. Maybe tomorrow night, there's some things that I really want to get into.
Praise God.
But I believe that the way you're listening tonight, that the Lord will let us do it.
Amen.
We've traveled a long ways tonight for them to believe.
Amen.
Somebody says, how far did we get? Took us out of the dust and turned us into gods.
Yeah.
All by faith. And then it was translated by faith. You should not see that. Don't you feel better than
all right.
How do you know that all of this ranch is lying vanities? We sing that song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond this. The angels beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this ball game anymore. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's stand together. Love the Lord.
Yes.
All of mine vanity. The Bible said it came to pass and it will pass.
Amen.
Alright. I feel good. I thank God. The little one said, I thank God for my mommy and daddy. I thank God for my brothers and sisters. I said, I thank God for my wife, my sons and daughters.
Amen.
I thought that was such a beautiful testimony. Coming on down the night, I said, baby. I said, you know, God's really been good to us. I said, I'm like that song. It says, you don't know like I know.
Amen.
And I come in here tonight and start saying that song. You don't know like I know. See, it is true, folks. This world is lying vanities. It's got to fade away. But if you have the mind of Christ, it won't be an obstacle to you.
Amen.
I want to say a few things in closing. Remember, when you have the mind of Christ, you know what you can do? By faith now. You can walk through that wall. Yeah. Somebody says nothing to do with lying vanities, and you try walking through it. You'll get a bump on your head.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you can't do it anyway. Jesus didn't.
Amen.
Somebody said, but the difference is Jesus was a spirit. But Jesus said, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, you see me. Talk about the Father and the Son now.
Amen.
God is a spirit.
Amen.
But Jesus said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me.
they walked through the wall.
Amen.
He walked through the wall.
Amen.
With his flesh and bones. Somebody said, but Brother Pock, he died. He got back out of the grave. That's what made the difference.
Yeah.
Lazarus didn't walk through the wall when he got back out of the grave. You know, I don't know why we get the erroneous idea that we got to die so we can be good. Somebody says, I love the Lord, Brother Pike, and if I ever die and get up on the other side, I'll be good and go to heaven. I don't see what getting in the grave stinking and letting the worms eat you going to do. I don't see what's going to make you any better. You're just going to stink when they dig you up unless the Lord changes. David said in the grave, I can't praise him. Now's the time to praise him. You stand up and say, I think I'll praise the Lord. This morning. We know we've got to die sometime.
Amen.
And after we die, it'll be all over. We'll get back up in the resurrection. And then God will be satisfied and he won't want us to die. But what are we going to do with either? The Bible said that he had faith and didn't die.
All right.
God went out and put him back down here in the grave.
Amen.
And if he puts him back down in the grave, somebody said, well, we've got to come back and die. If he does, might as well throw my Bible away. The Bible said that he was translated by faith that he should not see death. The scriptures can't be broken. How is he going to come back and see death without breaking the scriptures? That's the reason he was translated. The seventh matter, typical of the rapture, translation. Isn't that right, folks? You know that a such word as rapture in the Bible. That's a man-made application. That knocks people for a loop. It says from glory to glory. It's changed inwardly from glory to glory. We need to really know what we're talking about and what we're thinking about when we say those things, because they're so besetting. They really trip you up. They're getting the church in a mess. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right. So then I'm saying this to you, that God doesn't want you to die. Brother Pike, why do you preach such a sermon? Because that's the sermon I'm supposed to preach. The Bible said, he that speaketh God's word is the one that God sent. You can tell the difference.
Amen.
See, God doesn't want you to die. Never, never. He don't want you to die. He's never wanted you to die. It's never been God's will for you to die. It's never been God's will for you to sin. The Bible said it grieved God in his heart because you sinned.
Amen.
It grieved God that he ever made man because he sinned.
Amen.
Now, can you listen to this and hold on? Maybe we explain it a little later. King tonight. So don't run away from me now. Let me prove something to you. Because if I get into it and go to preaching it, that would take all night. But let me say this to you. Where does sin come from? Can you tell me? Where does sin come from? It comes from the transgression of the law. Shadow of death. Tomorrow night in full, we're going to read just a little bit. Where does sin come from? It's the transgression of the law. Hold on now, no one from there. Where does sin come from? It comes from the transgression of the law. And the Bible says, speaking God's word now, God sent you to speak God's word. And the Bible says, where there's no law, there's no transgression.
Amen.
Come on, folks. No transgression. Is that right, Brother Preacher? I get out of the Bible and say, hey, wait a minute, preacher. Now, listen. Where there's no law, there's no transgression.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Now, if there's no transgression, then there is. Somebody help me. If there's no transgression, there's no sin. Because transgression of the law is sin. Is that right?
Amen. Amen.
And the Bible said you are not under the law.
Right.
Everybody that's not under the law, let me see him.
Amen.
But if you fall from grace, you're under the law.
Amen.
Are you falling from grace? Then you're not under the law.
All right.
You're not under the law.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Are you under the law?
All right.
No. You're not under the law. Somebody say, wait a minute, preach. If I'm getting out of the Bible, isn't transgression of the law sin? And if you're not under the law, can you transgress? Can a dead man transgress the laws of the land?
Amen?
No.
Is he dead to the law? Didn't Paul say that we reckon ourselves to be dead and dead unto the law by the body of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. And didn't he say dead unto the world by the body of Jesus?
All right.
Didn't he? And dead unto sin by the law of Jesus? Although the body of Jesus? Hold on, man. Don't run off the So then transgression of the law is sin. And the sting of death is sin. Transgression of the law is sin. He that transgresses the law has sinned.
All right.
You read of that.
Amen.
Right.
But if there is no law, you can't transgress the law.
Amen.
Folks, you wouldn't stand and tell me that you don't sin. Let's go on with this thing.
Amen.
You wouldn't tell me nothing like that.
Amen.
All right.
So if you wouldn't tell me, let me tell you, the Bible said he that is born of God cannot commit sin. Come on, folks. I said the Bible said, this is not Brother Pike's idea. I've heard preachers and they don't preach that. This matters what God said. What difference does it make what the preachers preach? God's words. That's what we want is faith in God's word. The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I don't think I'll sin if I hold on. It didn't say nothing about holding on. It didn't say nothing about holding on. God knew holding out and holding on to. He said he that is born of God doth not commit sin. It said he cannot sin. Because he is born of God. And God saved the name of him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God.
All right.
Oh, bless God. So glory for the Bible.
Glory,
man. Oh, this is just water too deep for the world. They can't get into it. That's what they're doing. All right. They can't handle it. Because they sin every day. And they preach that they sin every day. They're going to continue to sin every day. And they're going to hell because they sin. I challenge anybody in the world, and I speak around the world and travel around the world. I challenge anybody in the world to prove that. You can't do it. It's absolutely a fact. Folks, let me tell you, this little thing of trying to preach people into heaven and sinning every day and repenting every day and sinning every day and laying the foundation of repentance over and over. I told you, take all my mom to go to this. I'm just going to say a few things. Maybe we'll get back to something later. Don't you know that in heaven will take nobody to heaven? Somebody said, well, bless God, I sinned yesterday, but bless God, I'm trying to get clean again today, Brother Pine. Well, bless your heart, that's fine. But I'm talking about them people that stay clean all the time.
All right. Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, what are you talking about? The Bible said the sow, when she's washed, you don't go back to her vomit.
All right.
And the Bible said the dog will go back to his vomit.
Right.
And somebody said, well, what about all these backsliders out here, Brother Pine? All of them people that I knew was God's people.
All right.
The Bible said if they'd been up, they no doubt continued with us.
Amen.
But they went out for us that it might be made manifest they were not with us. They was among us like Judas, but they didn't with us.
Amen.
Let me say this hurrying along now. We got
all right. Plus,
when the angel came to Daniel 500 years before Jesus came, and he said, Daniel, he said, Messiah's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I mean. He said, Messiah's going to come. I said, my God, never men speak like this man. Said, Messiah's going to come. And said, you know what he's going to do when he comes, Daniel? He's going to make an end of sin. Somebody say hallelujah. I said, he's going to make an end of sin. How did he get beside him? 500 years later, he came. And you know what he did? Exactly what the angel said. He made an end of sin. Somebody said, well, I guess I just sin on. Well, I guess you can keep on sinning. Praise God. I'm glad my sins are gone.
those gates just a little bit more.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm always preaching with people over in the Philippines. You know, your feet just wants to get up and down. All of in Africa, preaching that Kenya crusade, my feet just got up and down. I just couldn't keep them on the ground. On the floor. You know why? Because I'm a child of the King. Sin. Oh, man. Wait, just watch these sons of God. One day they'll quit their sin.
Yes.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
That's just like saying one of these days an elephant's going to quit being an elephant. The Bible says the leopard can change his spot, the Ethiopian change his skin, then they're accustomed to do it and do good. There ain't no hope for them, folks. You're predestinated of God. The Bible said this was given you in Christ before the world. It's been brought to light Calvary with the veil's been rent in twain. It's been preached down through the church ages and it's still being preached. And it's been brought to you even as we stand right here with you to bring these things to you because this is the hour of the translation. And you've got to learn one thing and you say, what is that one thing, Brother Pride? That he that is born of God keepeth himself and the evil one touching him not. There's never been a time in your life where the devil ever touched you. Somebody said, well, it's beating my brother down from the pocket, give me a heartbeat ago. But folks, let me tell you that inside angel is sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the devil ain't never touched him at any time in your life. Hallelujah. I was starting to have this congestion. Why do you feel better? Because we just discovered some sins.
Amen.
I knew there was such in the world somewhere. Somebody said, well, what's that got to do with sin? Saints don't sin. Saints don't sin. Brother Pat, I'm just going to say, Lord, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive them trespassing against me.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Father, forgive me my trespasses.
Yes,
I stumble and I stagger.
Uh-huh.
Lord, I bow down to your feet. I wash
my feet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to make this old body bow down. Protect this whole body. I'm going to bring it into perfection.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Lord, if God, that devil ain't never touched me. Get you out of here, you're going to become one of them. Let's get out of here.
That's right.
All right, so we're enjoying the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to say a whole lot about that, but tomorrow night, the Lord's willing that happens, I'm going to say some things. It might really make you feel better. How do you believe what I told you?
Hallelujah.
Amen. The service is open to you before I say amen to you. Mm-hmm. If you get through, that's wrong. Now's the time to do it. Did you know that if you don't do it, you'll have these people blow on your wing?
Yeah. No.
Not right.
Yeah.